is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and team.
Welcome to the show, everybody, here on Tuesday morning. Talking fantasy football, getting you ready for your waiver wire claims tonight, your fab bids tonight. First, fill in the blank, Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Monday Night Football doubleheaders are blank.
Awesome. The absolute bane of my existence.
That's the absolute bane of your existence.
Yes.
Have you been to a dentist?
Not for a while.
Oh, that's bad, Heath.
Ooh.
We got to talk about that.
I loved it.
Jamie loved it. Heath, what the hell? What's wrong with more football?
I loved it in the moment. I didn't enjoy, like, I'm not Jamie. I don't function on 4 hours of sleep or three hours of sleep.
2 hours last night.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, I don't.
No, Jamie, take a nap. Come on. I'm worried about you.
I was watching the game and then I thought, you know, I'll wait till the second game to start tweaking some rankings and writing the waiver wire column. Then I waited till the game was over and I started doing it. And so it was a long night.
You don't even drink coffee.
No.
Yeah, so he's a weirdo.
No,
he's
a
weirdo.
I'm a vampire, though. Vampire.
Yeah. Well, vampires at least sleep during the day. So, yeah, we got to talk about last night's game. We got to talk about Sunday's game. Even though I watched Sunday's game on Monday morning, I already knew the score. I was still
captivated. Before you finish. So, Dave, last year, for most of the season, when we would podcast Sunday night, I was in a different room. I couldn't watch the game. So, we're watching the game, and in real time, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt.
Oh yeah,
Adam's not.
I almost came barging in.
Adam's not watching it, and he's like, "Oh, you're joking. You're kidding.
Thankfully,
by the time our show ended, he was healthy.
He was. And it was a great game to watch, even though I knew the outcome. So we'll talk about those games. But let's start with our top three waiver wire priorities, regardless of position, fellas. Your top three priorities. Hit me.
I don't think there's a silver bullet number one. I think it really comes down to what you need. And a lot of people still need tight ends. And George Kittle is out there, 69% owned. He's still out there in a little bit of leagues. Ebron, 52%. I would go after those two if I don't need anything. But there are a lot of interesting receivers and a lot of interesting running backs. I think a lot of people will make a run at Philip Lindsay, who's out there in 98% of leagues. So I'm going to say Kittle, Ebron, Lindsay, not necessarily in that order and definitely dependent on what you need.
Dave forgot my number one.
He forgot the number one.
Ooh, the number one.
T.J. Yeldon. If Leonard Fournette is out, T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah, but that's a big if. They're optimistic that he'll play.
And if he does, then...
We still haven't mentioned him the number one.
Oh, Quincy?
Quincy Enunwa.
The best Jets receiver?
The best Jets receiver until Sam Darnold can throw the ball more than 10 yards.
He's not even my number one receiver.
Yeah, for me, it's Yeldon 1, Lindsay 2, Enunwa 3. And I don't think it's close.
Well, who's your number one receiver, Dave?
Chris Godwin. 31% owned. Jamie told me this morning, like he wasn't even on my list because I just assumed that people were smart and they were drafting him late. And it looks like only a third of the CBS Sports fantasy football loving audience is smart.
But there are a lot of options. I'm trying to add Buck Allen anywhere I didn't already have him on my bench, which is almost nowhere.
Guys,
Eckler,
you're missing arguably the number one.
Jared Cook.
Tyler Lockett. And Jared Cook is very interesting as well. What about
Brandon Marshall?
I don't know if Tyler Lockett's not even the best Seahawks receiver to get.
I saw that you had Marshall ranked ahead of him. The snap counts are pretty interesting there. Lockett played 98% of the snaps. Marshall played 65%. Now, Marshall did have, I think, two more targets. But I don't know.
And should have had one more touchdown.
Marshall's like a fantasy corpse. I mean, we were totally counting him out. I'm not sure that...
Here's the thing. And it's funny because I'm actually in the middle of writing this right now. Marshall is the safer play. Lockett is the higher ceiling play. So depending on what you're looking for and what you want, that's, I think, how you have to approach the Seahawks receivers. But we don't know how long Baldwin's going to be out for.
I've got at least five out, receivers I like better than either of those guys.
I have them fifth. One, two, three, four, fifth. The two of them, back-to-back, fifth at receiver.
Right, fifth and sixth. All right, so there are a lot of wide receivers, and unfortunately a lot of them are going to, be kind of one-week wonder, so we'll try to sort through it. I mean, Quincy Enunwa got 10 targets. Robbie Anderson got one, and he caught it for a long touchdown. They face the Dolphins this week. who I still don't think are going to have a good defense. I don't care what we – right? Like, we still don't think the Dolphins are a tough matchup.
I certainly don't think they're going to have a good defense on the road. They might have a good defense down here.
If they played Blaine Gabbert every week, they'd have a good defense.
Howard will be tough for Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, Chris Godwin, 31% owned. DeSean Jackson's dealing with a concussion, so that certainly helps Godwin. George Kittle, not in Jamie's waiver wire list because the cutoff is 65% owned, right?
Yep.
Hypothetically, would you rather have Kittle or Jared Cook, who is your number one tight end?
Kittle. Yeah.
It's Kittle. Jared Cook, like, I'm going to have him ranked in the top six this week. It's a good matchup against the Broncos.
Oh,
but it is.
We know what to, like, don't say nobody ever warned you.
You said this when Gruden was hired about Greg Olsen, which is 100% accurate. Yep. They like the tight end, and you saw that they were featuring him. It wasn't just like he had a couple big plays.
Right.
He had 12 targets. I mean, it was go, Jared, go. And he was really their only bright spot.
That was his fifth game in the last 5 years with 100 yards receiving. In the games following, he has totaled one catch for 10 yards, one catch for 7 yards, two catches for 36 yards, four catches for 57 yards.
Oh, what a stat. What a great stat. I love it. That's Jared Cook we're talking about. And, you know, it is not uncommon, guys, to see a team like the Rams that have great cornerbacks be bad against tight ends. You know, it's kind of like a Broncos thing that we used to see when they had Tlaib and Harris. Sometimes that they were vulnerable against tight ends, and maybe that was the case last night. I mean, he really just didn't go – Derek Carr did not really go to Amari Cooper or Jordy Nelson that much.
7 targets combined to those two guys.
Yeah, so that is something to consider. And they have Ricky Seals-Jones this week, the Cardinals facing the Rams, so maybe that's a flyer you could take if you need a tight end. And you can't get Ebron or Kittle. I took a look at snap. I'm sure we all took a look at snap counts, but we haven't really done a segment on snap counts. Going to try to do that later today. But what I thought was interesting, Jack Doyle played 94% of the snaps, and Eric Ebron played 45%. He played 40 fewer snaps than Doyle. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pick him
even
up.
Even if Ebron's a top 5 tight end this year and Doyle's number 14, Doyle's still going to play more snaps than Ebron.
He blocks more.
Okay. He also got more targets, so I mean, yeah. It wasn't just a snap count. He was featured more in the game. If you take away the touchdown, he's the better tight end, even with the fumble.
So yeah, we'll see if we can learn anything from snap counts in week one. All right, so the names are Kittle, Ebron, Philip Lindsay, Quincy Enunwa, Chris Godwin. Who am I missing?
Yeldon.
Yeah, T.J. Yeldon, right. But Yeldon's a tricky one because, you know, do you want to burn a lot of fab on Yeldon if you're not the Fournette owner? Do you want to use your number one waiver wire priority on him? Because he might be useless this week against the Patriots if Fournette plays.
You still should add him because of Fournette's track record, and he's still going to be involved in the passing game quite a bit.
And if Fournette doesn't play, I think he's a top 15 running back this week.
100%.
But would you rather add Philip Lindsay or T.J. Yeldon?
I think it depends on your team.
Go on.
Oh, I mean, if you're the Bell owner that needs help long-term, you know, or depending on how long Bell's going to be out, you're probably looking at Lindsay because there's a little bit more staying power with him. But if you need something to help you win this week and Fournette is out, you're going to play Yeldon over Lindsay.
My read on the waiver wire is that aside from those two guys, there aren't great running back options. Agree or disagree?
Buck Allen.
I mean...
Yeah, if Alex Collins is punished again for fumbling again... And Kenneth Dixon's out again, a lot of agains. it's going to be Allen.
Okay, that's a good point.
And I think even if
point.
Collins is not, Allen's going to be the pass catching back.
He was that. That was his role in the game. But he's not great. He's
and the
not
goal
a
back.
Great player. He was a fullback on the play. He's not
that's
a goal the,
that's their
back.
Signature play.
Collins had a short yardage touchdown.
I'm going to make
too.
A compilation of all of the Buck Allen fullback dives Ravens have run in the last
year.
Oh,
wow. That's going to go viral. Can't wait for that. All right, so how much fab would you be willing to spend on whoever you want the most this week?
I'm not dying for anybody. That's the weird thing about this week. Usually after week one, there's one or two guys that you're just absolutely dying for.
If Kittle was there and I just lost Walker Olsen, I could see going up to 18%.
Sure. And I'd use maybe half that to try and get Ebron.
If Fournette is out, Yeldon's worth at least 20%.
I think Kanoon was worth close to 15% in PPR.
Easily. And I would say the same thing about Eckler if he's available.
But there's nobody out there that's like 50%.
No. Don't break the bank for anybody.
Right.
No, I saw that. Like, yeah. There are a few leagues where James Conner didn't get picked up before week one. I got some tweets saying, how much would you spend in fab on James Conner?
For waivers that don't run until after week one.
Right. You're going to have to spend it all. 75, I bet.
Why,
I don't think I'd get him.
Yeah, but... wouldn't that be a mistake? Because Bell's coming back eventually, right? I mean,
well, I don't know. We've been like Bell was coming back Labor Day.
I understand.
Bell was coming back the Saturday before the season, and I don't know.
I'll buy into Schefter's report that he's here by the end of the month. But in here, by in Florida, you know, vacation.
But who is anyone worth the number one waiver wire priority if you are so inclined to hang on to that?
Depends on if you need that tight end, then you have to do it. And if you don't need that, well, then no.
Depends if you can get through waivers without having to pick somebody up. Because there are a lot of guys that are going to be out there. They may not be great. Like Cook and Ebron, based on the percentages, are going to go. You can't not see them and getting above 75%. It's the Disley, Jonnu Smith, Ian Thomas, Seals Jones, Ben Watson, Safarian Jenkins, those type of guys, you could probably let waivers cycle through. And then if you can make free ad drops, that's probably the smart thing if you don't want to burn that number one.
And if make sure you know what's going to cause your waiver order to reset. Like, number one doesn't mean anything at all if it's resetting every week.
Sure, yeah. If you hang on to it
that week.
But to use it.
Right. That's how most leagues have it. I don't think many leagues have it where you've got that number one waiver priority until you use it.
I think
there's some like that.
I do hear that more than I would have anticipated.
What percentage of leagues do you think?
I have no idea.
20%.
But there's a faction of our audience that does play in that format.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm telling you,
more people use FAB than have that.
What I'm saying is the whole should you use the number one waiver wire priority only matters to those people. It doesn't matter to people where it resets.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a case where it depends on what you need, which is kind of the theme that I think we're going with here.
Okay. All right, then. So keep an eye. I just want to say one thing about Kittle. He had 5 catches for 90 yards on 9 targets. He also dropped a touchdown. He could have had a huge game. Maybe this was also a situation where good cornerbacks for the Vikings, and I think they did have some injuries in their secondary, though. Maybe that's why Kittle had such a big game. Do you think how would you compare the legitimacy of what we saw from Kittle to what we saw from Jared Cook last night?
The problem is that we'll be blinded by Jared Cook's past performances, which, I mean, Heath just brought up and made us all sick over. I thought all along that Kittle was going to be a big part of the San Francisco operation, and it's not like they didn't target Garcon. Dante Pettis had a touchdown. And Goodwin got hurt. Maybe Kittle has a couple of fewer targets if Goodwin's in the game for 4 quarters.
But that's also...
I still feel like he's just a part of the plan. The matchup was probably some of it.
I'd rather have Kittle than Cook.
I'd rather have Kittle than any of these guys.
And the thing with Kittle is, with McKinnon going down, as much as they'll use Breida and to a lesser extent, Juszczyk and Morris, he fills that role for them more so than ever before.
Philip Lindsay had 15 carries, same as Royce Freeman. They both had 71 yards. Lindsay had 2 catches, 31 yards, and a touchdown. That's in the receiving game. He only had 3 targets. I know he only had 2 catches, but does Lindsay set up to be a very valuable PPR guy? Is he more valuable in PPR than non?
Yeah, which is what his role – that was the role he was battling for coming into training camp in the preseason. And he did fine.
And we haven't said Austin Eckler's name. Who would you rather own, Eckler or Lindsay?
Eckler for me.
Me too.
I'll take my chances on Lindsay just because I think he'll be a little bit more involved barring an injury. Now, if there's an injury, Eckler's going to have a much higher ceiling because he'll replace Melvin Gordon. I think if Freeman goes down, we said Sunday night, if Freeman goes down, that's where I think Devontae Booker comes back into play.
And I don't think Freeman's at risk of losing playing time. He averaged 4.7 yards per game. So did Lindsay. Both of them had a great game against Seattle's run defense. It's just Lindsay caught a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, Eckler was great, but he only had 10 touches.
All right, we also
kind of like their Chris Thompson.
Yeah, no, I have him back to back. I would take my chances on Lindsay over Eckler just because I think he'll do more.
We also have to talk about who to drop this week, and we will certainly do that. But it's time for a new segment. It is time for the idiot moron move of the week. We're all going to talk about our worst start sit decision. And I feel bad because I don't think I made any that was terrible. None of us probably made any terrible ones. Like, they ended up being bad, but I didn't do anything that was so outlandish. But we're going to see who's the big idiot moron. And if you're confused, what am I talking about? Well, on a show on a Tuesday, I guess probably 3 Tuesdays ago, Heath and I had just come back from our podcast for the People League draft on Monday night. We drafted Carson Wentz in a 10-team league. It was one of our last picks. And Heath dropped him without my consent during the show. And he and I was like, no, you're joking. No, he really dropped him. And I was quite mad about it. And then this happened. You really did it. I can't believe this.
I have a picture to prove it.
You idiot. You are such an idiot. Like, what the hell is the matter with you? You moron. I hate you. So who is the idiot moron of the week? I will start. I started Tyler Eifert over George Kittle in multiple leagues. I did not think Kittle would have a good game against the Vikings. I did think Eifert would have a good game. I may have bought into Eifert a little bit too hard. That was my idiot moron move of the week. I started Tyler Eifert over George Kittle. Anybody else want to volunteer?
I'll go. I lost to a certain fantasy writer by 1 point this week because I started Jack Doyle in a PPR ahead of George Kittle.
Oh, did you watch the full Lions Jets game yet?
Yes.
Matt Prater also killed you.
Yeah, because he missed.
I mean, you wouldn't bench him obviously, but
right.
Oh wow, you missed because of that. He missed a pretty easy one, didn't he?
He did. And he missed a 56-yard kick also. But
yeah, I think Matt Prater is the idiot moron on your team.
Well, but that wasn't a lineup decision.
No.
He's
all right.
Just an idiot. No. Moron.
But when I was watching I knew what the score was between us, and I was okay, Prater's gonna get a field goal here at some point, and we'll probably be tied. And then when they scored, I was like, oh, they scored and he had a field goal. So he had 4 points. And I was like, okay, Dave's going to win. And then when he missed the 44-yard field goal, I was like, yes, I got it.
So that's the fantasy writer.
I had 7 games last night that I had a chance to win on Monday Night Football, and I think I won one of them.
I made an idiot moron move letting Heath leave the building on Friday without him trading me James Conner in our Dynasty League. And I think
so far,
I call me crazy, Heath, and you'll say, no, you didn't do this. I think I was close to a deal where I was willing to give up Jimmy Graham and something else in the Dynasty League.
I made you
Conner.
The counteroffer.
What was the offer?
What was the counteroffer?
Jimmy Graham and Anthony Miller for James Conner.
I said yes to that. So we should go retroactively and make that happen.
You said no
to
that?
I think I went, I said no to that. And I love Anthony Miller.
Yeah, but Conner's going to be the Steelers starting running back next year.
Maybe.
I don't think there's a maybe.
Well, maybe now there's not a maybe.
All right, back to idiot moron. So far, I've got Dave beat because starting Eifert over Doyle. You know, I started Eifert instead of Kittle. You started Doyle instead of Kittle. So far, I win. Heath, Jamie, what do you got?
The most painful of all my idiot moron moves this week. Remember, like June when I was the Isaiah Crowell guy, and then July, and then August, and then all the way up until week 3 of the preseason when I finally caved and put Bilal Powell ahead of Isaiah Crowell. I started Powell, had Crowell on my bench last night, and lost by 2 points.
All right. That's a contender. Powell over Crowell. Jamie, what was your worst move?
I didn't have any bad lineup decisions. I just had a bad tweet. So after the Sam Darnold interception, I tweeted, Lions DST was the easiest play of the week.
No.
One of the easiest calls of the week. And I'm still not hearing the end of that one. So
yeah, that's bad.
It wasn't an idiot moron.
It is pretty impressive to not have any bad lineup decisions all week.
Well, when you set 20 million different lineups, I'm not going to go through
it's
them all.
It's all right. I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
I'm not going to play Adam's game.
All right. So who's the winner here? Game. Oh, Powell. I think it might be me. What do you guys think? Eifert over Crowell. Eifert over Kittle. Can't be Dave because my decision was worse than Dave's. Powell over Crowell.
You are the idiot moron because if you'd never thrown the fit over Carson Wentz, we would have picked up Adrian Peterson and we would have won in that league.
Fine, I accept that. However, I swear if you drop Carson Wentz, it's over. Do not do it. No way. Injuries, news, and notes. Aaron Rodgers may not be able to play this week. So if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, are you going to start any Packers? Any Packers?
I'm nervous about Rodgers if he does play.
Yeah.
This is a tough matchup. This is a tough spot for all the Packers.
Everybody's going to run to Randall Cobb again. He's got a horrible track record against the Vikings. You can't start Geronimo Allison in this game, even though he looked great. I would say Jimmy Graham and Adams are the only ones you're starting, and Graham is kind of by default.
Yeah, I'm starting Adams for sure. I'm starting Rodgers if he plays. And I'm probably starting Graham.
If we look at all the wide receivers and what they've done against the Vikings, we'll have nice debates about Davante Adams because, I mean, they're just amazing. Xavier Rhodes is just the best, arguably. But we, you know what? We have plenty of time for that. Marcus Mariota likely to play this week. Buffalo has not decided on a quarterback yet, and I said this on Sunday, I believe, but Chris Mortensen reported that Carson Wentz has not been ruled out for week two. I'm assuming we don't expect Carson Wentz?
Not as of now.
Okay. Running backs, Leonard Fournette day-to-day, LeGarrette Blount left with a knee injury. Let's get a little Kerryon Johnson in there. I don't know that
the Lions can't run.
Blount could have looked any worse yesterday. Jeremy Hill out for the season. That's a pretty big one. What's the impact of Jeremy Hill being out for the year with a torn ACL?
It's great news for Rex Burkhead. Assuming he can hold up.
And Sonny Michel if he's healthy.
Once that happens. Yeah, it's great news for fantasy because now we've got one less chef in the kitchen.
Basically everyone but Jeremy Hill.
Well, it's bad for him.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi is going to be a workhorse for the Eagles. That's also great news.
Yeah, and that came straight from the coach. Coach said that he needs more playing time and more touches.
Doug Baldwin has a partially torn MCL. There's no timetable for his return. DeSean Jackson, concussion, and Marquise Goodwin day-to-day with a bruised thigh. So I think that's why we won't be going crazy over Dante Pettis, because Goodwin has a good chance to play this week. Delanie Walker's out for the season with a broken ankle and ligament damage. Jonnu Smith is his replacement in Tennessee. And on the offensive line, left tackle Taylor Lewan for the Titans. He's in the concussion protocol as they get ready for Houston. They're going to need him against Houston. Detroit guard TJ Lang left with an injury. They're at San Francisco this week. And Houston's bad offensive line has gotten worse. Chantrell Henderson, their right tackle's out for the year.
It may have gotten better.
I don't know. They're going to be starting a rookie now at left tackle because they're moving their left tackle to right.
Henderson was bad to begin with, though.
It is. That's true. But he's a Hurricane, so you know. On defense, Keanu Neal for the Falcons. He's out for the season with the torn ACL. Minnesota's got two banged-up cornerbacks, Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes. Houston slot cornerback Kevin Johnson's going to miss some time. Pittsburgh cornerback Joe Hayden hurt his hamstring as they get ready for Kansas City. Detroit defensive end Ezekiel Ansah left with a shoulder injury. Dallas defensive end Randy Gregory has a concussion, and that's pretty significant for the Cowboys. And Cleveland had lost 13 season openers in a row before they didn't lose this past season opener. They tied. Congratulations.
This is their best start since 2004.
That's amazing. Let's recap the games for the next like 10 minutes or so, and then we will do the waiver wire. Hardcore into the waiver wire. Green Bay 24, Chicago 23. Jamie, Jamal Williams, was it just the game script got away from them?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a lot of running room, so they got off to a horrible start, and Rodgers going down didn't help matters at all. But I was disappointed, clearly. If you were to tell me he was getting 15 touches, I thought he would perform better. I was really disappointed about his usage in the passing game, 2 targets, no catches. So with the matchup against the Vikings on the table, probably not going to do well, especially if Rodgers doesn't play. And then you have Aaron Jones back. So he may have missed his opportunity to solidify himself as the guy. Now, you're not cutting Williams, but this was not the start you were hoping to see if you are investing in Williams.
You got to trade for Aaron Jones.
You just pick him up. He's only 60% owned.
That would be super. But if he's owned, now's the time.
Or trade him.
If he's owned, you're owned.
Or trade Williams to the Jones owner.
Now, I don't think that the Redskins are going to have a very good run defense. So the 3 games that the Packers have after Aaron Jones returns from suspension in week 3, at Washington, home against Buffalo, at Detroit. And that is just a cakewalk, potentially.
Yeah, that's nice.
Now, it could be for Williams. I don't think he lost the job, but let's not overreact. But, you know, it wasn't a great game for him. But the good thing is Montgomery didn't really get that many carries. All right, whatever. So Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, they all scored. Cobb had a beautiful 70-yard catch and run. What do you think of the Packers wide receivers other than Adams? We know what he is.
It'll be interesting if the targets stay anywhere close to this even, because it's going to be hard for Devontae Adams to be a top 10 guy if he's not dominating targets. And it's going to make Cobb and Allison both flexible, maybe even number 2 receivers some weeks if they are getting this many targets. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Frustrating because Jimmy Graham didn't do anything. So
nothing.
When he does start to get involved, which he will, obviously, you're just going to probably guess wrong on which Packers receiver the secondary guys, because you're going to start Adams most weeks.
Adam, run those teams that they're playing in weeks 3, 4, and 5, the Packers.
They are at Washington, home against Buffalo, and at Detroit, I think. It's those 3 teams.
And if they're running the ball better, against those teams and their defense plays a little bit better, then I don't think anybody's getting close to eight targets.
Oh,
Rodgers
no.
isn't
going to
go out
eight
and
targets. That's
have 40
not
plus
that
attempts
many.
In those games.
I think Adams is going to get eight targets a game.
I think they but I don't think the other two.
Oh,
they had 37
not.
Pass attempts total. So assume that probably goes up three or four with Rodgers not going out. But he also
when they're chasing points
well,
in a high scoring
course. I don't think he's throwing less than 35 pass attempts a game. I don't care how they're running the ball. And again, Williams had 15 carries. Put that number at five more. So you go from 40 pass attempts to 35 and he gets 20 carries, or the running game gets 20 carries because they had 18 total.
They also only had the ball for 26 minutes, 38 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, they're still going to be around 8 to 10 targets each, regardless.
Who do you like better, Cobb or Allison? I'm going to speed it up. Cobb or Allison, rest
Cobb.
Of the season.
Cobb, but not by much. I mean, that's how I felt about it going into the season.
I'm not changing my opinion on these guys after this game because they won't have a ton of games like this where they're down big in the second half. And
but they're obviously going to score more than 24 points, though. I mean, it's not
right,
like
but you said it yourself. Graham is going to get more involved in
yes.
the offense, and the run game should get going.
Well,
and I think we've got to be a little worried about Aaron Rodgers.
Did the
well? That's
Packers,
a different story altogether.
I mean,
if he's
hurt, he survive 15 more games?
The Packers run one play from the red zone.
That wouldn't surprise me if that
maybe
was,
two.
If you want
the
me to
Adams,
look it up.
The Adams touchdown, I think, was in the red zone.
Probably.
All right, guys. We got to move on. We got to move on. We got to move on, or else we'll never get to the waiver wire. Rams 33, Oakland 13. All right, Jared Goff, how do you come out of this game feeling about the passing game for the Rams?
Another team just chopped it up.
He missed Woods twice wide open on big plays.
Mm-hmm. And they used Cooks as a deep ball threat, and he drew penalties that helped them out, and that keeps other guys open. When Goff is accurate,
flopped.
And Mr. Red Zone was Mr. Red Zone again.
Cup.
Cooper yep. Cup. They have a really nice chemistry, for sure. And then you talk about even target distribution. Cooks had 8, Woods had 9, Cup had 9.
9.
So, are you encouraged about Brandon Cooks, or do you think he's going to be disappointing?
I mean, if he's going to get 8 targets weekly, that's much more than Sammy Watkins got. I think Watkins had, 8 for the season? So, you know, Cook's involvement, if it's evenly distributed, it's going to make it frustrating for us. But if they're all going to get 8-plus targets on a weekly basis, then they'll have opportunities to be successful.
We need to rewind real quick because I think we maybe missed one of the most important things on the Bears-Packers game.
What's that?
Jordan Howard had more targets, more catches, and I believe more routes run than Tariq Cohen.
Oh, he was awesome.
Yeah.
He really was awesome.
He's probably a number one running back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is for this week.
Okay, and finally, can we just chalk up the bad game for Cooper to the matchup?
Sure.
yeah. That they went away from both their receivers. I mean, Derek Carr looked awful.
It maybe is
fantasy wasteland.
Do you know that? I think it's, if I heard this correctly on the radio this morning, the 3 highest paid quarterbacks based on their cap hit are Stafford, Garoppolo, and Derek Carr, and they combined for 10 interceptions.
Ooh. The nice thing for the Raiders is I think they can walk away next year for only $7.5 million.
Jordy Nelson, 94% owned. Is he droppable?
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
10 team leagues, yes.
Jets 48, Detroit 17. Absolute domination. Jets scored their first defensive touchdown in 74 games. All right, so look, Powell and Crowell, they both played well. They both played, I think, the same amount of snaps, actually.
One of them did not play in the fourth quarter at all when it was a blowout. Does that mean anything to you?
That was
they
Powell?
Saved one of them. No, Crowell.
That's Crowell.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think Powell had 2 carries in the fourth quarter. I'm probably going to rank Bilal Powell higher again this week.
If Powell doesn't have the thing with his eye, he scores the first touchdown, or at least has the opportunity to score the first touchdown. And then Crowell has the big breakaway run. So I think
it was kind of fluky.
Yeah. So I think you look at it, you know, the fact that Powell averaged 5 yards a carry to me is encouraging, and maybe a little bit more so encouraging than what Crowell did, just because, again, the big run is going to make his numbers look much more impressive than it was. And he was off the field because of, you know, an injury situation.
And this was a weird game for the Jets because they only threw 21 passes because they had so many big plays.
Yeah.
And 10 of them went to Quincy Enunwa. But Powell did get 10% of the targets in this game. Crowell got 0. So I think Powell's probably still going to be better, even though I'm an idiot moron.
Crowell is a very good sell-high candidate.
I think that, you know, the Jets receiving core, or the Lions receiving core, I hope it's not going to be one that drives us crazy, but Kenny Galladay had the best game. He had 114 yards on 12 targets. Marvin Jones had 8 targets. Well, Golden Tate technically had the best game. He had the touchdown. He had 15 targets. How would you rank those three rest of season?
I mean, we've talked about this a lot, that when Galladay was healthy, both Tate and Jones lost production, and their best games came when Galladay missed that 5-game stretch with the hamstring problem.
I think Galladay has the most upside.
Galladay definitely has the most upside. I agree with you 100%. And a lot of his production came on Tremaine Johnson. And so that was encouraging that they weren't shying away from that matchup. I think Claiborne spent a lot of time on Jones. I haven't looked at it fully yet, but Jones missed a touchdown.
A couple of them.
It was a bad throw.
Three, I think. Okay. Yeah.
The one for sure that he could have had, but it wasn't the easiest throw and catch. But Tate, I think, is still the safest play. Jones and Galladay, I think, are going to kind of flip-flop production week in, week out.
Tate is the safest for sure in PPR. I don't know if I'm ready to say that in non-PPR, but because that run game is still so bad, that opens up Tate to be that run game extension, which is part of what he does, and that helps him get those targets, get those catches, and get those yards. 3 deep targets from Marvin Jones. I think he had 4 total targets that involved the end zone, either near the end zone or into the end zone. So I'm not ready to write him off.
And I think all
yet.
4 hit his hands.
Maybe.
Now, they weren't all what I would call catchable, but we knew there was some regression coming from Marvin Jones. He wasn't going to average 18 yards a catch and score 9 touchdowns again.
No, but they tried to make that happen.
Right. We may have just seen some of the regression last night.
Well, and I think you'll see it go the other way some weeks where he will catch those deep passes and Galladay won't have 100 yards.
They need to fire Jim Bob Cooter.
Wow. One game in and we're ready to fire Jim Bob Cooter.
The Jets knew exactly what he was doing. They said so.
Yeah, they did.
I just like his name.
He was pretty, you know, we were giving him a lot of praise when he first took over. He did a good job. I think they need to fire Matt Patricia. I'm kidding, by the way, but I did mention this a lot of times. Like, it was reported, you know, what they gave up on the ground without Haloti Ngata last year when he got hurt, and they don't have him. And I really thought they were going to have one of the worst run defenses. And so far they're off to a wonderful start. They are looking like a great matchup for running backs.
Yeah, I think Breida and Alfred Morris are certainly in play next week by far.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, it's not the best week for me, but FanDuel was fun. I came in 317th out of 1,176 people in our Fantasy Football Today Listeners League. Now, I did actually enter twice, unfortunately. I didn't actually mean to do that.
What a cheater.
I didn't mean to do that, I swear.
You're multi-entering our own contest?
I didn't do it on purpose. I thought I was entering another contest, and oops, I donated another $5 to our listeners. We actually did get an email from our listener. His name, I think, is Jeffrey. And he won! He won the FanDuel contest, so congratulations, sir.
You know how much he won?
$500.
$500.
So get awesome. In on that.
You want to know his lineup?
No. You can get in on that. Happy. Hold on. For $5 a week, you can play against us. FanDuel.com/FFT. Go there. FanDuel.com/FFT. And you can compete against us, set your lineup, and win $500. And there are actually more than 200 people are going to win some money. So I didn't miss the cut by much. But we love it. We have a great time. You know, you said it. You get an opportunity to have players that aren't on your seasonal teams. And that's what I probably like the most about it. Like I said, I didn't have Dalvin Cook on any team, so I put him in as my flex in my FanDuel lineup. And it's really fun. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or not, there's something for everyone on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT, and if you make your first deposit, you get a $20 bonus when you make your first deposit. FanDuel.com/FFT. Ordinarily, I would read that winning lineup, but instead, I think we need to move on and get to the waiver wire. Also, you need to go to sportsline.com. So this is interesting. The Patriots-Jaguars game opened as a pick'em. And here's a stat I saw on CBS. With Brady as their starting quarterback, the last time the Patriots were not favored came in week 11 of the 2014 season, and they beat the Colts 42-20 as 3-point underdogs. So the Patriots are always a great bet when they are not favored. See what Sportsline has to say about it. Go to sportsline.com/join. Use the promo code FANTASY for your first month for $1. It's only $10 a month after that. It's a gambling site. It's a fantasy site. We got great injury analysis, by the way, on Sportsline. Sportsline.com/join. Use the promo code FANTASY. All right, to the waiver wire. Let's talk about these guys. Quarterbacks that you could use either for week 2 or going forward? Who are we looking at, Jamie?
Tyrod Taylor is the best one. I don't think that's close, given what he showed you with his running, which was the best part of his game against the Steelers because he only completed 37.5% of his passes. Weather could have had an impact on that, but as Josh Gordon gets more involved, I think the passing game will get better. But I think given the matchup against the Saints, not that he's going to do what Ryan Fitzpatrick did, but I think in a situation where they are chasing points, he will be successful not only this week, but have success moving forward.
The Saints, going back to last year, have given up 318 or more passing yards to four straight quarterbacks. And I don't see that happening with Tyrod Taylor. It's not his game. But I don't know. We got to see how their defense does because it didn't finish well, and it certainly didn't start well in 2018. So Taylor at the Saints. There's Keenum, Dalton. Anybody want Keenum or Dalton this week?
I've got Keenum ranked one spot ahead of Taylor this week. I'd much rather have Taylor for the rest of the year. But I do expect that he'll have a good game against the Raiders.
Okay. Keenum gets the Raiders, and he had 25 fantasy points, even though he had three interceptions. Pretty lucky, I think, Case Keenum, to get those 25 fantasy points. Dalton has Baltimore. Baltimore was great against quarterbacks last year. I think they allowed the fewest fantasy points. Dalton coming off a nice game, 19 fantasy points on only 28 pass attempts. Dave, you want to weigh in? Taylor, Keenum, Dalton?
No, I mean, I think Taylor and Keenum are probably the top two. I don't think anybody's ready to buy into Ryan Fitzpatrick just yet as a one-week Band-Aid. Same thing with Dalton. Same thing with Darnold.
I think we'll disagree on number three because I think it's Darnold.
I just don't really want to. What am I picking him up for? What's the purpose?
Yeah, I just think he took advantage of a bad defense.
Right.
Which he could do again with Miami if they're bad.
I don't think Miami's a bad defense.
Oh.
I don't think they'll be bad at home. I'm not sure that they won't be bad on the road.
But who's picking up quarterbacks this week? Obviously,
Aaron Rodgers owners, for sure.
I got another one that's just like that, though, and that's Deshaun Watson, because that line went from not very good to really, really bad.
There are people that started Dak Prescott week one, too.
Yeah, sure. So you can move on from him.
I get it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But I'm not
starting any of these guys over Watson. Watson's still a top five
quarterback. No. I'm talking about I need an insurance policy on my bench because I don't know how much longer Deshaun Watson's going to last. He's dropping back in the pocket, and he's slow to read, and that offensive line can't hold up for more than 2 seconds.
He also played against a team that had 6 months to prepare for him and know what to expect because they faced him last year. He was without his second best receiver. And as bad as that line looked, he still gave you 40 yards rushing, which is going to help his rushing because he's going to have to escape the pocket a lot. So while he may die, that could certainly happen. I don't think his offensive line is going to necessarily increase his fantasy value dramatically or tear it down dramatically because, I mean, you can say the same thing about Mahomes. He's going to have a bad offensive line in front of him. He's still going to make plays. I mean, you know, it's a byproduct of, I think the upside versus the downside, yes, but I don't think it's enough to make me say I'm benching Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Unless he's playing Jacksonville,
which is going to happen two more
yes,
times this year.
Yes, I would not bench him this week.
No.
I would not bench him this week.
No.
No.
I agree with Dave that you're watching this week. I want to if he has another game where he looks like he did as a passer, then I'm considering benching him.
Maybe I didn't communicate this the right way. If I've got Deshaun Watson as my starter, I'd like to have a good backup quarterback on my bench.
Makes sense.
Or I'd like to identify minimum three quarterbacks on the waiver wire who I can go and pick up in case of emergency. So I'm basically
right, yeah,
what
so,
I'm doing is,
so who is, it?
Is kind of putting some it? Doom and gloom on Deshaun Watson.
Let's play the long game. Forget about Watson, because you're right. We should talk. If it's Watson, if you own Matthew Stafford, if you're concerned about
Rodgers is also one.
Yeah, if you have Rodgers, you obviously need to look at a quarterback. But let's talk long term. Who are the guys that like? Does Mitchell Trubisky have long term upside? Does Sam Darnold? Does Ryan Tannehill at least upside to be worthy of a start? You know,
you're gonna think this is gross, but Tyrod is one, but Flacco's another. I think Flacco played great. It was Buffalo. You can say what you will about Buffalo, but he's been reborn a little bit. And I think they wanted to show it off in that game against Buffalo. And I think they'll continue to show it off. I think Flacco is going to be a good backup quarterback.
Yeah, but not this week though. Short week on the road.
Again, not ready to start Joe Flacco this week over any of the guys that we've talked about. Wouldn't even stream him, but. He's a guy that, okay, one of the three quarterbacks that are on waivers who I would turn to in case of emergency with my starter.
So Fitzpatrick, I mean, I think it's actually a shame that he has Philadelphia, because I wouldn't completely dismiss him. You know, he's now in his last five games with 30 or more pass attempts, he's had 20 or more fantasy points three times. But I don't think you can trust him against the Eagles, right?
No.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. Trubisky, 33% owned. Like, it was frustrating because I thought he looked pretty good. He just, like, didn't really throw the ball downfield. And
they got way too conservative after getting the lead.
And then when it was the, you know, the drive at the end of the game, he looked terrible. He looked jittery. Not a good look.
So, yeah, I guess we're going to be kind of bearish on Trubisky, not rushing to pick him up. And then dropping, you know, who are some guys that you'd be hesitant to drop? It's only 1 week. Let's not freak out about Stafford.
Sure.
Not yet.
And Ben. And people are going to drop Ben.
No, they're not. Who's dropping Ben?
Yeah. Oh, they definitely will. He was the number 12 quarterback in ADP. Like,
don't
people were barely drafting him as a starter.
I don't think people are dropping Ben Roethlisberger.
He's going nuts this week.
I think he's going nuts this week. He's my number two quarterback.
Me too. He's going to be our starter of the week this week.
Ooh, fun. All right. Ben Roethlisberger. And Dak Prescott, Eli Manning, Marcus Mariota, how droppable are they?
Yes.
100%. You can. Matt Ryan should be on the list too. Smaller leagues.
But the problem is, like, look at the waiver wire guys. Like, if Tyrod Taylor is number one with a bullet here, I don't want to drop Prescott, Mariota, and Eli.
I'd rather have Taylor than any of them.
That's fine, but then just him. But what I'm saying is, like, would you rather have Keenum than all of them? Would you rather have Dalton? Would you rather have Flacco? It's probably going to be a matchup thing. And, like, it's too easy. It's too early to give up on Eli Manning, I think. Play Jacksonville, for God's sake. And if he had just hit Odell Beckham for a wide-open 33-yard touchdown, he would have had a good game against Jacksonville.
If he was a better quarterback. He's
not that good of a quarterback, but guess what? Tyrod Taylor was 15 of 40. Tyrod Taylor was 15 of 40 as the number one draft pick sitting on the bench. You're way too high on Tyrod Taylor. Like, do you think Tyrod Taylor is better than Carson Wentz, for goodness sake? Come on.
As a Giants fan, after watching last night, would you rather him take Sam Darnold or Saquon?
Yes, Sam Darnold. You guys are so stupid. Don't drop Carson Wentz, please. All right, running backs. So with Fournette banged up, Freeman should be fine. We don't know about Michelle. Hopefully we get Marlon Mack back this week. Jeremy Hill's out for the year. Kenneth Dixon's banged up. Garrett Blunt's banged up. We got TJ Yeldon. We talked about him at the top of the show. You definitely want TJ Yeldon. You don't definitely want TJ Yeldon, but.
Yes, you do.
I think you should add him regardless.
Okay.
Could be a waste.
Of course it could be a waste. Right?
Yes. We don't know if he's even going to get a chance to play in week 2.
He could be a waste in as much as every handcuff or backup running back.
He is an injury-prone running back in terms of Leonard Fournette that just started to have a soft tissue injury. If that is a recurrence and he misses several weeks, which last week he missed two games in a row, one was because of a suspension, but he still missed multiple weeks last season, then I think you could see a scenario where TJ Yeldon gets a ton of work. And what we see last year, when Fournette went down, Chris Ivory and Yeldon at separate times were very successful.
Okay. Philip Lindsay is only 2% owned. How owned do you think Philip Lindsay should be?
70?
Yeah. He'll be in the 50 to 60s.
Okay. Austin Eckler had 10 touches for more than 100 yards and a touchdown, and he's at Buffalo this week. So, yeah.
You could start him this week.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Allen, Heath's been talking about, makes some good points. Collins did fumble. Allen caught 5 passes, and they have Cincinnati on the road this week. Aaron Jones, we just talked about why you might want to pick him up. He has one more game. If Jamal Williams doesn't do well against Minnesota, which is a possibility, maybe Aaron Jones has a nice role when he comes back in week 3 at Washington. Nyheim Hines, we didn't talk about him. So we got some pass catchers here. Nyheim Hines with 7 catches. Theo Riddick with 5. Jamie, are you picking up Hines or Riddick in anything other than PPR?
No. Their PPR options. Hines, I think, will be somewhat dependent on how healthy Marlon Mack is, but Riddick could benefit without Blunt there, because if they're trailing based on their defense and they're in these hurry-up situations, he's going to have
playing.
A lot of 5-catch games.
He'll have some more carries, too, because I don't think they're going to just take LeGarrette Blunt's workload, which in week 1 was 4 carries.
That probably goes
He'd
to Abdullah.
Get more. Oh, yeah, that's true. Abdullah could come back. Oh, yeah. Hines, I think, is locked into this passing downs gig.
Even when Robert Turbin
comes back.
Frank Gore had 9 carries for 61 yards, but Jamie's got him last on this list. He's just 25% owned, Frank Gore. So, yeah, it's going to be Yeldon. It's going to be Lindsey, Eckler, Buck Allen, probably the top four there. Who to drop? I think Devontae Booker's an easy drop, right?
Yep.
If you're the Royce Freeman owner, would you drop Booker? You don't like Booker's.
Yeah, to get Lindsey, just as an example. Like, you're going to try and get Lindsey. If you have Freeman, you've got to try and get Lindsey.
Ronald Jones an easy drop or no?
I don't see why you need to be patient with him anymore.
I think Tampa Bay would like to drop him at this point.
Yeah, right.
I would much rather hold on to him than either of the other two guys you put on this list.
Giovanni Bernard and Devontae Booker.
Whoa. You're saying something bad about Giovanni Bernard?
I'm not saying anything bad. I relinquished my claim on Team Gio on Sunday. They're not using him.
Yeah.
He's a handcuff.
Jordan Wilkins? Should we hang on to him?
Yes.
Rashad Penny, should we hang on to him?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Trying to think anybody else that you could see being dropped.
You could drop Jeremy Hill.
Okay, that's fine, Heath. I'll agree with you on that.
Thanks.
Let's go to wide receiver. Wide receiver. We've got Doug Baldwin, Goodwin, Fuller, Jeffrey, Parker, Devontae Parker, DeSean Jackson, all dealing with injuries. Goodwin hopefully back this week. Same with Fuller. So Quincy Enunwa is number one. Does anybody disagree with Quincy Enunwa as the number one? I think Dave did, right?
I did. I'm still going to go Godwin.
Does that depend on DeSean Jackson's availability?
No. But it's going to be better if DeSean Jackson misses some time.
Okay.
More targets open up for him.
Godwin only had 4 targets, but he did catch a touchdown. 3 catches, 41 yards, and a touchdown. Kenny Golladay. So Enunwa, Godwin, Golladay. Are they must adds?
Yes, and I'll take Golladay over Godwin.
So you're going to go Enunwa, Golladay, Godwin?
Yes.
Keith? Jamie, you're the same way? Enunwa, Golladay, Godwin?
No, I'm Enunwa, Godwin, Golladay. But yes, Adam, they all should be added.
Okay. John Brown. So then the rest of the list is a lot of guys that are pretty interesting. John Brown for the Ravens. So he's at Cincinnati this week.
Yeah, that's my number 4.
Brandon Marshall, Tyler Lockett, and Geronimo Allison. Let's stop there. John Brown, Brandon Marshall, Tyler Lockett, Geronimo Allison. Your thoughts on that group?
I'd rather have the Seattle receivers than John Brown, and I love John Brown. I'm kind of scared of the Baltimore situation. With, like, we talk about, it's okay when the Packers receivers all have 8 to 10 targets. It's confusing. It's hard to know which one to rank the highest, but it's fine. They can all be good. Same thing with the Rams. With the Ravens, Willie Snead and Michael Crabtree got 6 targets. John Brown got 4. They had 2 other players get 6. It's like,
they
it's
play
a good
the Bills.
Thing they all scored touchdowns last week.
Yeah, they play the Bills,
right,
too. That's got to count.
Another thing that's just not going to happen every week, but I liked how often he was on the field. Snead is the slot guy. You could tell that Flacco is all about using those tight ends, and I wish there was one tight end that we could identify there as being the guy. Like, this is where Hayden Hurst really could like dominate in fantasy once he gets back on the field and shows he can be an every down player.
But the difference for me is I can start Brandon Marshall or Tyler Lockett this week as a flex and feel perfectly good about it.
I think John Brown's in that conversation too, even on a short week.
I think there's more upside with him.
Oh, for
yeah.
sure.
And that's what I would bank on with the uncertainty of, look, Baldwin could be 2 to 3 weeks, you know, and if that's the case, then which is the better Seattle secondary receiver?
Right. Hopefully we'll know by then.
Well, let me tell you something that I overlooked. I wish I had looked at this, but I think actually the schedule for Lockett and Marshall might be kind of tough. At Chicago, they really might have a very good defense. Dallas, mm-hmm. Dallas likes their young secondary.
I liked how Dallas's defense played against Carolina.
At Arizona, that might not be easy. And then the Rams, that's their next 4 games. At Chicago, Dallas, at Arizona, and the Rams. Maybe I should have factored that in more when I proclaimed how much I wanted to add Tyler Lockett. You know.
Yeah, but like Chicago and Arizona are much more theoretical, I think. Like, they were not good defenses in week one.
The Bears, I think, did pretty well, all things considered.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
No, Heath, your point about John Brown's targets.
Right.
That was in a blowout.
Yeah.
Whereas Marshall and Lockett in competitive games, they topped out at six targets.
Yeah, so, but Brown's targets came before it was a blowout.
That's my point, though. That's my point, though, is that Brown would have had more if the game was competitive. At least the assumption would be that.
Right.
And Marshall and Lockett, while Russell Wilson needed them, they didn't have such huge target distribution.
Can I toss another name out there?
Yeah.
This isn't long term. This is certainly short term and probably not good for week two. But Philip Dorsett got seven targets from Tom Brady, caught a touchdown, didn't have a great receiving average, but that stood out to me. And that might be another receiver for until Edelman comes back.
You can't use
my stash. No, you can't.
So you're basically talking about maybe
at Detroit week three, Miami week four.
And do you think Chris Hogan's going to be so uninvolved?
No.
So that's why I wouldn't even bother with Philip Dorsett unless you're talking about deeper leagues with a late waiver claim.
We got to talk about Geronimo Allison. Geronimo Allison, John Ross, Mike Williams, these young wide receivers that could be in good offenses. You know, there are so many names on this list. I really think you should just read the article. But I need you guys to kind of sum it up. Like, who has the most upside? Who would you be looking at? Allison, Pettis, Ted Ginn, John Ross, Cole Beasley, Mike Williams, Ryan Grant, Philip Dorsett, Willie Snead, Tyrell Williams, Bruce Ellington, DeSean Jackson.
Yes, I listed every receiver in the NFL.
Basically.
I would have put Allison ahead of the Seahawks guys if we know for sure that Rodgers is 100%. Also, to Heath's point, if you need someone to start this week, you're not starting Allison over probably Marshall or Lockett, just given the matchup against Minnesota. So this is kind of – I always struggle with this when I write the column of long-term versus short-term. And so short-term, the Seahawks guys are a little bit better because, again, Marshall's situation and comparatively to Rodgers' situation. So if you're just looking for a long-term stash, I think Allison has more upside than the Seahawks guys and maybe even John Brown. But I mean, you know how much I liked him coming into the season, so it was encouraging to see the way he played. But with just so much uncertainty right now with that situation.
Are you ready for another Heath flip-flop? Or Heath 180?
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams.
Over Tyrell.
Well, no, over everybody you just mentioned.
Okay, so give me your priorities then. Where would you put Mike Williams?
Well, no,
I'm with you.
The top six or seven, I think, are the same.
Okay,
it's just in a different order. But after you get past the Seattle wide receivers, they threw the ball deep to Tyrell Williams. He dropped a touchdown. Travis Benjamin dropped a touchdown and cost himself another 40 yards or something on another drop. In the second half of that game, Philip Rivers just started throwing the ball to Mike Williams, and Mike Williams caught it and looked like a good receiver. I'm definitely more excited about him than I am John Ross, who got two targets and had 3 yards.
We didn't even see Williams score, which is going to be a huge part of his game because he's got that big size and single coverage in the end zone.
I'm not saying he's there yet.
Appealing to Rivers.
That was a big step, actually.
It's a guy you want to stash. That's definitely a guy you want to stash. Again, mm-hmm. I'm surprised. Only 54% owned.
And they've got Buffalo. And usually going cross country to Buffalo is actually a pretty tough thing to do. I don't know that we're going to feel that way this week when the Chargers go there. Tight ends we got to talk about here. And by, I think we'll just save Team Name Tuesday for tomorrow. We'll do Team Name Tuesday on a Wednesday. So I've got your team names. I will get to them. Try to get some emails at the end of the show. But tight ends. All right, we've talked about George Kittle. He'd be our number one priority. Jared Cook, Eric Ebron, Ben Watson, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, Jamie. That's how you rank the top four after Kittle. Cook, Ebron, Watson, Seferian-Jenkins.
Yeah, it's hard to get past what Cook's involvement was in that game last night with the 12 targets and how he was used, and he looked explosive. So I guess we'll chase the unicorn for 1 week and see how it goes. But if there is a week to buy into it with all the injuries at tight end and the matchup, I think there's an opportunity here for him to build off that. I still think Jack Doyle is going to be the better of the two tight ends for the Colts, but Ebron had the biggest play and, you know, is going to be a significant playmaker. And then Watson, Seferian Jenkins are still going to be involved in their respective offenses. If Seferian Jenkins scores a touchdown, the perception of him is going to be different, but it's almost Seferian Jenkins, so he didn't score again. but this is a team that is without a clear-cut number one receiver, and you saw Bortles look for him in the red zone. You also look for Niles Paul in the red zone, so he's going to lean on his tight ends because you look at the size of his receivers. You know, they're not very big outside of Moncrief, and Moncrief stinks. And Watson, while he didn't have a huge game in a game where Drew Brees threw for 400-plus yards, he was still fourth in targets. Cameron Meredith didn't play. And so there'll be better days for him ahead. But the fact that he's still involved in this offense and what he did in 2015, I think that's worth buying into.
I like Jonnu Smith after a lot of those guys. I think he's got some good potential in this offense. Yeah. I liked him coming out of FIU a couple of years ago. I think he's got some upside to him.
He's got a little bit of athleticism. He would actually be third on this list for me. I'd go Cook, Ebron, and then Jonnu.
I don't know if I love going Cook over Ebron, just knowing who Jared Cook is and what he's done.
As much as I love Eric Ebron.
At least Eric Ebron.
You know who Eric Ebron is.
But I feel like his role is pretty well defined in Indianapolis. I think there's a lack of great receivers. I'm going to say the same thing that I did during the preseason. Who's that number two guy? Now, if you're going to go off of targets, Ebron wasn't even fourth, I don't think. Right? Because Ryan Grant had more. Doyle had more.
Hines had more.
And Hines had more.
And Hilton had more.
And Cook's the number one in Oakland.
Well, sure.
Yeah,
Last week he was.
I just think with
Newton, he just makes me nervous.
Based on you know, Gruden and Olsen and how they featured Cook, you know, if it was no Doyle, like if you were to say that Doyle's getting the Alex Collins treatment because he fumbled and he's going to be benched, then it's Ebron without a question.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was five targets less than Doyle, and if you take away the touch, like the worst, I think this is big for when people are looking at the waiver wire. I know Adam, you're trying to rush his line. I apologize. But
right.
When people are looking at waiver wire claims and looking at production from especially week one, please do not chase touchdowns. That is the worst mistake you can make, is chase touchdowns. Look at usage. Look at targets. Look at playing time. That's so much more important than a guy falling into the end zone. As good as Ebron's catch may be, Doyle was much more involved. And so Cook was much more involved. Those things are so much more important than what the guy scoring gave you, because that's not replicable.
So you're not a fan of Will Dissly?
I like Dissly, given Mr. the Dissly. Offense. But
yeah, he's interesting. I mean, he has
that's the best way to put it. He's interesting.
I'd rather have him than ASJ.
I'll take Jonnu Smith over both.
Well, Smith, how do we feel about Smith's matchups? He's got Houston, then at Jacksonville, then Philadelphia in his next three games. I don't know what to expect from Houston in terms of how they're going to cover tight ends, but this does seem like three kind of tough matchups for Jonnu Smith in a row.
I don't mind the matchup against Houston at home. The next two, I do have trouble with. And then he's got Baltimore 2 weeks after that Philly game. So, yeah, those matchups are tough.
But aren't teams – like, Jacksonville's not going to be bad against tight ends, but that's how you're going to have to attack them in passing, right, over the middle. You can't
– Marcus Mariota's not throwing outside against them. Evan Engram gave the ball away.
Yeah, they tried, though. So Ian Thomas is Greg Olsen's replacement. Ricky Seals-Jones has a good matchup at the Rams. Antonio Gates is at Buffalo. You can look at these guys. Any interest in a Dallas tight end against the Giants?
No.
No, the curse is broken.
Well, I don't know. It did get called back. And then, hey, where's O.J. Howard, dude? 42% owned. He had a lot more snaps than Cameron Brate. And he had
always been the case.
Two targets.
He got into my top 20 tight ends this week, so I'm moving him up.
Yeah, he's got the Eagles. Not going to be a good week for him. So forget I said it. Kickers, Dustin Hopkins, Ryan Succop, Cody Parkey. They could have good weeks. And DSTs. This is not the best week for DST streamers. Like, the great matchups are defenses that are already, like, widely owned. But Jamie's got the Bears against Seattle, the Patriots at Jacksonville, and the Panthers at Atlanta. The Bears,
I like
Pats,
the other
the
side of that Panthers-Falcons game.
Falcons. Oh, yeah, the Falcons.
Me too. Without Cam's track record is terrible against this defense.
And I think
without Neal in there, I think that's going to be a bad defense, though.
I don't think
really?
It's a bad defense. And that's their first – it's their home opener. It's Cam on the road. And I think the first game or two, Cam without Olsen, he may not be quite the same. Passing the ball.
Yeah. Falcons, 29% owned. Interesting. And they lost their right tackle, too, right?
Panthers did, yeah.
Yeah, Darrell Williams. He left again, so I don't know what his status is. All right, Falcons. Any other streamers, DSTs you guys want to talk about? It's not the best streaming week for DSTs.
No, there was one kicker that I like that we didn't talk about. That's Sturgis.
Yeah, I love Sturgis. As long as the weather cooperates in Buffalo.
Right.
Okay. All right, let's read some emails. Finish the show with your emails. By the way, Adam Vinatieri is 70% owned. Is he a hit kicker that should be 100% owned? Vinatieri?
Yes,
sure.
Good luck, healthy, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, he probably should be. I like him a lot more when he's indoors, but.
Fair. John in Pittsburgh. Hey, Larry, Curly, and Moe. I drafted James Conner in the 14th round. I do not own Le'Veon Bell. Should I trade Connor for Lamar Miller?
Nope. I think you could get more than that.
It's such a great situation with Ingram if Bell is in fact coming back at the end of the month. I think I'd just ride Connor out.
He does have Mark Ingram, yeah. This is from Danimal from Cape Coral, Florida. Dear Skeeter, Doug, Roger, and Patty. That is a TV show named of one of the characters mentioned.
Doug, yeah, right?
Thank you. Yes.
You watched that when you were a kid,
yeah,
right?
You guys should have heard how good I did on the mailbag with these names.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
It was like big time. Big time. All right. I have Royce Freeman. Should I pick up Philip Lindsay and drop Deion Lewis, Carson, Thompson, Eckler, Mike Williams? Standard scoring.
I love all those guys. I don't want to drop any of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop any of those guys for Philip Lindsay. I would rather have Philip Lindsay than Mike Williams in a vacuum, but if I have a team with Carson, Lewis, Thompson, and Eckler on my bench, I don't know.
He also only has a certain amount of free agent moves.
I would drop if I had Royce Freeman, I would drop Eckler for Lindsay.
I'd drop Williams for Lindsay.
Well, then he has a little bit of a roster imbalance at that point, right? Like, because he's got too many bench running backs.
It sounds like Mike Williams is his only bench receiver, and he has four bench running backs.
But, like, wouldn't you rather have
Lindsay?
Trade
two of the running backs.
Wouldn't you rather have Lindsay and Eckler? Lindsay over Eckler if you were the Freeman owner?
I would try and trade Eckler to the Gordon owner or Thompson to the Peterson owner.
Thompson looked good, by the way.
He did.
So did Peterson.
Peterson looked good, too. Peterson had a lot of run in the second half. Thompson looked good.
Brian from D.C., dear Benny, Vivian, Giselle, and Tom.
Beautiful people.
I don't
Who's
know who
Benny,
Benny and Vivian are. Tom Brady's pretty beautiful. Brian says, half PPR, need help at wide receiver and running back. So is there a question here? Oh, should I drop any of these guys? Sorry. Doug Baldwin, Sony Michel, Marlon Mack, Matt Breida, Jameson Crowder.
Crowder, maybe.
I think Crowder's the most droppable.
Okay. No name or city, Dave. Who do we got here?
Hans from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hans says, on a scale of 1 to 10 on the crazy-o-meter, how crazy is it to start both Golden Tate and Kenny Golladay?
Well, this Matthew Stafford looked terrible. Great. Stafford was awesome. So, you know, if you want to buy into him doing that on a weekly basis.
He just threw a bunch of bad throws. Like, the interceptions were disgusting.
And he got hurt.
I think the receivers played fine. Those guys were fine.
Reading the rest of the email, it's not crazy at all.
He'd have to start them over Crabtree.
I'd start them both over Crabtree. Yeah.
I went back and looked. This is the first four interception game for Stafford since 2013. In 2015, he did have a game with 188 yards, one touchdown, and three picks against Arizona. It was a terrible game. He followed that up with 405 yards and four touchdowns and an interception against the Bears the next week. So
he's reverse Jared Cook.
Hopefully, yes, exactly.
He's normally a very good quarterback.
Rob in Western Pennsylvania, 16-team standard league, just lost Delanie Walker. Do I put a moderate to high fab bid on Ebron? Do I put a low to average bid on Jonnu Smith? Do I put a low to no bid on like a 1 week guy like Charles Clay? What do you do if you just lost Walker? Spend a lot on Ebron, some on Smith, or basically nothing on someone like Charles Clay?
I wouldn't go moderate high on Ebron. I'd go low to moderate on Ebron and then have Jonnu Smith as the backup.
I'm looking at like 10% on Ebron. Like,
it's a 16-team
league. Yeah, but it is a
16-team
league. You're going to have to sell. And he just lost Delanie Walker, so you might want to go a little bit higher than that.
Remember, when you're bidding on tight ends this week, there are two owners looking for a starter because Walker and Olsen both went down. So you have to be somewhat aggressive with it, unless you're just going to try and say, okay, if I miss on Cook, if I miss on Ebron, if Kittle's not available, do I settle for Jonnu Smith or Ian Thomas or Disley or any of these guys that are going to be widely available and just hope that you get your secondary option? But if you want to get the guy that you want in Cook or Ebron, most likely, you have to be a little bit more aggressive with your bidding.
Do you put in a trade offer for Jimmy Graham and try or Trey Burton and try and get one of those guys after a bad game? Maybe the owner who drafted them is feeling a little skittish.
It's a good idea.
Sure.
From Bruce, last
or
one.
Ertz or Kelsey.
Last one here.
Yeah, but those guys.
Well, I don't think we answered the
people
question.
People love those guys.
You would do like a moderate bid on Eric Ebron.
Let's call it 20% on Ebron.
Yeah, I'd go 10 on Ebron, 5 on Jonnu, 4 on Jonnu.
Okay. Last one from Bruce. Where's he from?
Dalton, Illinois.
I am the Melvin Gordon owner, and I'm trading Eckler to the guy who thinks yesterday is how Eckler will be used all year, right? There's no shot they become Ingram Kamara like this season, right? Or like last season.
Could happen.
I mean, you heard what Pete Briscoe drink told us that in Los Angeles when he was out talking to Philip Rivers, that Rivers thinks he could be his Danny Woodhead. So if that's going to be the case, and he's getting, what do you have, six targets in the game? Five targets in the game? Oh, yeah, he caught five targets.
Catches, so, right?
Yeah, five targets, five catches, five carries. The nice thing is he did that with Gordon going off. It wasn't like Gordon was having a bad game. Gordon was fantastic. What happens if Gordon goes down? He's a star. And what happens if this just continues? Now, they're not going to be chasing points like this, especially this week against Buffalo. But I think Eckler can be penciled in for 10 touches on a weekly basis. And can he get you 50, 60 total yards in those 10 touches and then score a few times on top of it? I think that's realistic.
That said, he could be a good sell-high candidate.
Absolutely.
Right, yeah. So yeah. It depends what you're getting, which is always the case.
I just had a terrible thought.
Uh-oh.
Let's say somebody offered you in a PPR league Derrick Henry for Austin Eckler.
Take Henry?
You're not. You get that trade offer?
No. I was looking at my rankings trying to, like, we're talking about selling high on Austin Eckler. And that would be buying low, theoretically, on Derrick Henry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a great buy low candidate. I mean, the ultimate sell high candidate, though, is James Conner.
All right, well, we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is your Waiver Wire show, Wednesday.
Wait, hold on.
No, I'm not holding on for nothing.
No, wait, what? No. Gotta go back.
There it is. Oh, terrible. Bye.